Today's reading passage is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 17. And it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of 3,800 branch churches all over the world, including the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, Honduras, Peru, Argentina, Germany, France, Russia, Belgium, the Netherlands, and countries in Africa, including Kenya, Uganda, and Congo, and in China, Japan, Pakistan, Indonesia, the Philippines, Taiwan, Mongolia, India. There are also more churches who registered as a branch church today. Egypt, Mongolia, Egypt, Israel, and Korean branch churches and local sanctuary members, all those attending the service on the internet all over the world and television viewing audiences. This is the 16th session of the series on goodness, and the second lecture on the goodness of Elijah. In the last session, I said that the first trait in Elijah's goodness was his humbleness in heart and how he never quarreled with anyone because he didn't have his own righteousness. Elijah may have seemed fragile in nature and incapable of making sound decisions, but God, who looks at man's heart, recognized Elijah's goodness in his heart and chose him as a great prophet of his time. By trials God had allowed him, Elijah became strengthened and confident, and by manifesting God's wondrous signs and wonders, he brought back to God the people of Israel from idolatry. When Elijah had wholly carried out his God-given duties, God chose Elisha as his successor and lifted up Elijah to heaven alive. What happened to Elijah who ascended into heaven in a chariot of fire led by horses of fire? I earnestly wish for you to be deeply touched and filled with grace by Elijah's goodness, which continues in the heavens to this day, and whose goodness was modeled after that of our Lord Jesus Christ, who himself came to this world after forsaking his glory in heaven. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the second trait of Elijah's goodness was his love for God with his deeds and in truth. Elijah always communicated with God while he carried out God-given duties in this world. Elijah also struggled to clearly understand God's will that was laid out before him. As Elijah clung to God all the more in order to achieve God's great work with his weak and fragile temperament, with the power from above, God strengthened Elijah's spirit. Through such experiences, Elijah longed for God's power even more and also came to earnestly long for God who strengthened him by his power. With his love for God, Elijah fulfilled God's commands with obedience even when he felt he couldn't accomplish them on his own. We know how even the worldly people try to give those whom they love everything they can. Even if things seem beyond their reach, people will nevertheless try. Yet, the love of this world is temporary. It changes with the passing of time, as well as changes to surroundings and one's heart and deeds. Most people also like to receive as much as they have given. But Elijah's love for God remained steadfast, and he perfectly demonstrated that love with his deeds and in truth. While many people profess their belief and love for God, when the time comes for them to accomplish the works that God is delighted with, they make an excuse of their temperament and back away. They say, I want to do God's work, but since it doesn't suit my personality, I'll just quietly work on what I have now. But people who say such things must examine how much they actually believe in God from their hearts and how truthfully they love Him. Our Father God has told us, all things are possible to him who believes. And as long as their love for the Father remains fervent, temperament is not an issue. They will not be able to control their hearts unless they testify to the love of Father God and to our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the time when this extremely weak-natured Elijah single-handedly challenged 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah to bring down God's answer by fire. In this fervent love for God, Elijah became all the more desperate to save the Israelites who had abandoned God and embraced idolatry, and that's why he could be so confident and courageous. This is how one truly loves God, and Elijah demonstrated that love with his deeds and in truth. And after this process, Prophet Elijah could come to know God all the better and understand him more thoroughly. When we reach the faith of the fathers, the mature measure of faith, we will come to know in greater depth God who has been from the beginning. Even during his life in this world, Elijah understood God deep in his heart and so earnestly longed for God so much. Can you imagine how full of love for God Elijah's heart must have been when he was lifted up to heaven alive and saw God with his own eyes? Elijah had understood in his own way, but once in heaven, the prophet came to comprehend God the Trinity with certainty. Without having any evil, praying continually, because by doing that, because he could communicate with God clearly, he could challenge 850 prophets of Gentile gods. If without communicating with God, such a thing cannot be done with your own thoughts. Because he understood God's will and heart and acted out that will of God, this kind of work was possible. Elijah came to know not only of God the Father, but also God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Elijah has also learned the duties assigned to God the Son and the Holy Spirit. He learned that God the Son would have to come into this world to be mankind's Savior. In order for him to be the Savior, Elijah learned that God the Son would have to put on flesh and eventually become an atoning sacrifice through his crucifixion. When this has come to Elijah's knowledge, the prophet's longing for the Lord became even more fervent, and he confessed, I will do anything for you, my Lord. Father God accepted Elijah's confession and charged him with the duty to prepare the way of the Lord. Elijah, who had been lifted to heaven alive and had been with God, was to be born again in this world and prepare the way of the Lord. Our Father God's plan, which was fulfilled by Elijah in the heavens, had also been prophesied by prophets of the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 reads, a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. And Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 to 6 tell us, "Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord." God says, "I am going to send you." And from where will He send him? From the upper grave? It is to send him from heaven. And He will restore before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, "I am going to send you Elijah." And He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. God has prophesied through prophets that He would send Elijah to this world again, as well as the duties Elijah would assume. How is this kind of thing possible, and when did God send Elijah back to this world? Keep in mind that this is totally different from the concept of reincarnation in Buddhism. And because this has been clearly stated in the Bible, I urge you to pay attention and understand the message well. An event of a man's being lifted to heaven and his being born again happened only to Elijah and took place only once in mankind's history. Then how could Elijah, who was lifted up to heaven alive, be born again in this world? In order for an individual to be created, God must send His spirit to the embryo of the parents' sperm and egg. Without a spirit, it is no different from an animal. It's not possible, but suppose after 100 years, we can clone human beings. Let us suppose. Then, because God does not give spirit, the shape is human being, but He is just same as animal. At the conception of the person who was to make ready the way of the Lord, God included Elijah's heart in the spirit He sent. God did not send Elijah's spirit itself. He sent a spirit that contained Elijah's heart. Because our Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the body of the Virgin Mary, He did not receive anything from parents of this physical world. Also, God's Spirit sent at Jesus' conception was the heart of Jesus. But things were a little different for Elijah. Since the Spirit that contained Elijah's heart was given after the seeds of life had united, that person was to receive his parents' energy and their influence. So among all the people whom God had considered to be good, He sent the spirit that contained Elijah's heart to the fetus of one such woman. It is clearly prophesied in the Old Testament, and God says He was sent from heaven and Elijah was born, and our Lord also recognized Him as Elijah. So in the spirit, Elijah's heart was embedded. So it is different from our Lord. Our Lord was not conceived by the union of a sperm and egg. He was, from the beginning, He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So it is a completely different case. Also, because Elijah had to come again, He was lifted up alive. And He had resolved all the problems of sin. All His original sin was washed away cleanly. Because He resembled the Lord, He could be lifted up to heaven. And in measure of faith, you will hear in the fifth level of faith. Who do you think was the person born in this way? There had been many prophets in the Old Testament and many disciples and apostles in the New Testament, but there is only one person whom the Bible refers to as a man sent from God. It was John the Baptist found in John chapter 1 verse 6. And in many parts of the Bible are evidences of John the Baptist having possessed Elijah's heart. Today's reading passage, Luke 1:17, says, "And it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Archangel Gabriel spoke these words to Zacharias, who was to be the physical father of John the Baptist, about the baby soon to be born. And Luke 3:4 also confirms that John the Baptist was the man whom prophet Isaiah had prophesied about, whose voice would make ready the way of the Lord. And above all else, our Jesus said that John the Baptist was Elijah. When two of Jesus' disciples, Peter and James, witnessed his transfiguration and realized that he was the Messiah, they asked him in Matthew 17:10, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" They asked him because they wanted to know. Since the scribes studied and taught the law, they were well aware of the words of the prophets and also knew that Elijah had must come before the Messiah. To their question, Jesus answered in Matthew chapter 17, verses 11 to 12, "Elijah is coming and will restore all things." Elijah was coming before him, before the Lord. Elijah is coming and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah already came, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished. He already came. Elijah already came. Not long ago, but now he has already come. But did not did to him whatever they wished. Finally, they beheaded him. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. The following verse reads that the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. So in the both Old Testament and New Testament, it is explained in such a detail. From the Bible, we can learn that John the Baptist was Elijah. That's why, because Elijah had come from heaven, he was lifted up to heaven alive. And the reason why he could be lifted up, it was because he accomplished the whole Spirit. Some people say people have original sin, and how can you say he had no sin? So that's why we have to learn about the measures of faith. In the first level, we go into second level, we cast off works, deeds of the flesh, and go into the third level, and in the third level, we get rid of all the sins in our heart and nature, like envy, jealousy, hatred, and anger, and so on. And after we get rid of all this evil, we have already cast off all kinds of evil. There are some remaining things in the fourth level, so by God's refinement, we take out all the sinful nature embedded, hidden in our bones, so we can get rid of all those sins, and then we can call that person whole spirit. And this whole spirit has no spot or blemish. So the Bible says, "I want you to keep yourself blameless and spotless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ."
그래서 그렇게 흠 없는 것이 무엇인지
so,
5단계에서는 더 구체적으로 설명이
I'll explain to you in more detail in a matter of faith sermons. What sanctification is, what the spots and blemishes are, so you can realize and understand what your blemishes are. So even the things that you don't consider blemish may be blemishes, even if you don't think it is evil, because you have the framework of truth. Some of you have a very strong framework. So unless these frameworks are broken, you cannot have peace with everybody. So all those things have to be broken down so that you can have peace with everybody, every place. So if you are a man of whole spirit, you must be very clean. Jesus is God Himself in His sense, is spotless and blameless, and is the true light. Therefore, the one who was to make ready the way of Jesus, the true light, had to be pure and perfect too. Our members, ministers, and workers, for our ministers and workers to lead our members to better heavenly dwelling place, you shouldn't just teach with words, but you yourselves have to go into, if you tell the members, you have to go into third level and fourth level, while staying at the second level yourself, how can you teach your members? You don't even come to the higher levels of faith, but you just teach. So what can God say? He can say you are only a hypocrite. So you should practice the word yourself. You have to go into fourth and fifth level of faith and teach others. So that you can teach there are heavenly dwelling places, different heavenly dwelling places in heaven. Or you become a hypocrite. You know Moses' law, and you listen and understand, but you condemn others who do not keep the law. This is why Father God sent Elijah, who had accomplished the whole spirit and was lifted up to heaven alive, back to this world. Another reason for God's selection of Elijah was because in his fervent love for the Lord, Elijah had confessed, I will do anything for you, my Lord. This was a conversation in the heavenly kingdom, but God let me know. So I'm telling you. So when Father God commanded Elijah to go back to this world, he eagerly obeyed with an amen. Because Elijah had lived in this world and was enjoying the glory of heaven, he knew very well the meaning of returning to this world. But because Elijah's love for the Lord grew all the more as he thought about everything our Lord was to experience, Elijah was not hesitant to return to this world of sin and evil, but instead received the command in joy and gratitude. God considered Elijah's goodness to be the most sincere, as the prophet showed his love with deeds and in truth, not just with words and tongue. But what can we say about people of today? When they first meet the Lord, their love for Him is the most fervent. In gratitude of His overflowing love, that many people confess, I will do anything for the Lord. I will give my God's word. I live by God's word, or even I want to give up everything, even my life, for the Lord. I have seen many people who confess like this. But only a few of them hold fast to the confessions of their lips through their deeds without changing their hearts. For example, God didn't ask them to go to some remote place and preach the gospel by risking their lives, but they can even open their lips and preach to people around them. God didn't ask them to give Him everything they have, but people can't even obey the command of giving Him the whole tithe, a command He had given to bless them. People who truly love God not only obey and live by His word, but in accomplishing God's kingdom, they must also be the first to roll up their sleeves and jump in instead of backing away. Just as a kettle full of boiling water steams, from people who earnestly love God, it is only natural to see that love in all their words and actions. We must also be able to do anything we can please Father God with. For example, what did Jesus, who did not quarrel, nor cried out, nor did anything hear His voice in the streets, do to the people who corrupted the temple? In John chapter 2, verse 14 to 16, we read, "And He found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated." 2,000 years ago, the temple, this is not in the building. The building, the most holy place, only a chief priest could enter. So they were selling these animals on the yard. It is not for merchandise, but they sold these animals to offer them as offerings before God. Even those things, our Lord was not allowing them to sell these things. And He made a scourge of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And He poured out the coins of the money changers. And overturned their tables. And how angry was our Jesus. He is such meek person. With His personality, He wouldn't do this, but He was so angry at this time. And to those who were selling the doves, He said, "Take these things away. Stop making My Father's house a house of merchandise." John 2:17 reads, "His disciples remembered that it was written, 'Zeal for thy house will consume me.'" Because you should keep the temple of God so clean, and all these selling and buying animals for sacrifices, this is also making God so angry. So Jesus made a scourge of cords, and He overturned the tables. You should understand how holy the temple of God is. And if there is any quarrel, or if you get angry, or if you say bad words in the sanctuary, it is very difficult to be accepted. So in the holy temple, you shouldn't talk about any business, worldly business, or bad words. Otherwise, God is not pleased. And going over beyond this, and there are people who commit sins through the internet. And what can we do? And some people say we cannot work without internet, or is it better to make our Lord angry. Because of some people, we, our financial blessings are blocked and we cannot give all these salaries. And why are there still people who commit sins on the, through the internet? And last year, the people came and repented. And after 1 year, and they repented once again, and they come to repent again and again, not only a couple of people. Is that they don't believe. They don't believe in God. They don't believe hell. How can they commit sins in this holy sanctuary? God does not forsake this sanctuary because of me and some people who love God. It is such a sad thing. Things that should never happen are still taking place. Last time I told you, you can quit being a Levite or a minister so that you will not harm other people. I'm not telling you to leave the church because you have to receive salvation too. But you can still just quit being a Levite or a minister so that other ministers and Levites will not suffer. The same with performing art mission committee, and I always ask you, young people, please do not look at the members, performing art mission members. I look at them and I want my God to bring down punishment on myself if I commit any adultery in my heart looking at them. I cannot even imagine. Even right now, I can tell you boldly, when I pray to God, He always answers to me. If I have any kind of adulterous mind in my heart or in my thought, I want God to punish me again and again. How can, even how, in the holy sanctuary, how can you have that kind of thoughts? And how can you tempt them and deceive them? And all these things must be stopped. Lord's anger on this temple is something very light compared to the things that are happening now here. Only for selling animals for sacrifices, our Lord was so angry. And if these things are happening, I'm sorry, but all these things must be stopped. And all computers will be removed. And do not give any excuses, except only those who must have them. I know computers and internet are very useful for your work, but it is much better than to, it's much better not to have them and not commit sins and not fall into hell. But if you go into spirit and if you do not commit any sins anymore, and those people will be given back the computers. Our Jesus loved God so much. Because He loved Father God so much, He could not stand by idly to watch His Father's temple becoming corrupt. Our Jesus was more meek and humble in heart than anyone else. It's the same with choir members and this orchestra, not only Emmanuel, but also Shalom choir members. When you practice, you think of God, and with all your heart, mind, and soul, you should participate in the practice. And while practicing, how can you have some other hearts, and why do you exchange notes? And after going back home, you leave a short messages and so on. And how can this be proper before God? This shouldn't take place anymore. Most of them do not do these things, but there are some who are doing these things. And why do you exchange notes and during the practices? And why do you say, I miss you or something in the message, short messages? And you look at each other during the practice and commit adultery in your heart. This must stop. You shouldn't do this. Because of these things, some of you got diseases and are in difficulties. So in our church, I know, as far as I know, there are some who love God. I know somebody who doesn't even have a cell phone because there's no need for it. That person doesn't need to send the messages or receive messages, but that person receives phone calls at her house. So the parents tell them, my daughter doesn't have a cell phone. And the caller says, who doesn't have a cell phone nowadays? You are lying to me. And why do you have to? Some people don't even have cell phones because they don't need it. And some people want to talk to her, call her at home. But if the parents say she doesn't have a cell phone, these people say, oh, you are lying to me. It's not that every single one has a cell phone, and there are people who need it, but there are some people who don't need it. So there are some parents who are having a hard time. So I told them, the famous receive many unnecessary phone calls, so you should change your phone numbers often. Some maybe fans who want to talk to her, but the person may not have the cell phone because only she thinks of God only. And how can you tell her parents that they are lying? Then who among us can use our personality or surroundings as an excuse in accomplishing God's work? There is a saying in this world, love makes you blind. When you spiritually love Father God and the Lord fervently, people around you or your surroundings are not a concern for you. You will only think of God's will and become eager to accomplish that will In any way you can. Brothers and sisters in Christ, from the moment I first met God and experienced His love to this day, my love for God has not changed. I just loved God anyway, without understanding Him properly. But as I learned the Bible, attended the services, as I came to know about Jesus Christ and God the Creator, as I knew more, my love for Him became deeper. And Jesus, because I knew Jesus was crucified for me, my love for Him became deeper. Do you know Yeji? Do you know Yeji, a child? Is my pronunciation wrong? She is Yeji, right, on the Manmin magazine on Friday, online service. In Manmin magazine, she was on the Manmin magazine. When she received a prayer from me, at first, she turned her face away from me. She didn't want to look at me. And she was making faces because she didn't know about me. She thought I was a fearful person. But after she was healed, after my prayer, there's no itching, no scratching, she can sleep well. Then, now she came to know a little bit. So she's so happy just to see me. And after the second service, second morning worship service, she calls me. Daddy, and she calls, because she came to know about me, she loves me, she came to love me. And she loves me so much, and she wants to kiss me. And how, without knowing, you cannot love really. As far as I know God, I came to love Him even more. And also there's heaven, as I learned about heavenly kingdom. And I came to love God and the Lord even more. And I came to love the prophets who loved God. And I came to love the people in the Bible. And I came to love those men of God. After 7 years of torment in illness, I tasted eternal life before death, as God healed me at once by His power. After that, Father became my everything. And whenever I thought of the love of Jesus who died for me on that cross, I could be grateful in any situations. As I found in His Word, I stayed away from don'ts, threw away anything He told me to throw away, strove to do all the do's, and obeyed everything He commanded. To what can I say something's difficult or I can't do this when they were my Father's commands? Because every command and word the Father God has given us is intended for our own blessing. We can do it all in gladness and gratitude. Even when His commands seemed difficult to obey, my love for the Father God always enabled me to obey Him with an amen. I shared with you in the last session how I was in no position to obey Him, but ended up obeying Him at the time God called me as His servant. I was in a position where I couldn't obey at all, but I still obeyed if it was God's will. After becoming His servant, I have proclaimed Father God who is alive and Jesus being our Savior. And if any task was for God's glory, I obeyed His word regardless of what people said and regardless of the threat I faced. In 1998, in June and July, I always talked to Elder Vin. From now, I would be called a heretic in the Christian world. But I cannot stop proclaiming God's will. I know I'd be condemned as a heretic. There are so many people who are envious and jealous of me. And if I proclaim the deep things of God, I would be condemned as a heretic. But knowing that I had to proclaim God's will, so I talked to Elder Vin many times like that. We had been very careful not to hear the word, not to be condemned like that. But now is the time to proclaim God's will and the spiritual realm. Without proclaiming the spiritual realm, we cannot go into the third level, fourth level, and fifth level of faith. We have to know it so that we can go into deeper levels of faith. So at the risk of being condemned as a heretic, we had to proclaim. But as we began to proclaim, they didn't even give us any time, and they just condemned us as heretic immediately. To condemn a church as a heretical church, there are processes. There had to be the research, and for many years. And then finally condemn, make the decision as a heretical church. But I never gave any excuses. I never wanted to say anything to them. I only, because God knows it, and God is protecting us. And through this, God was more delighted, and He blessed us more greatly to accomplish more of His tasks. We didn't fight against them or hated them or anything. Our God knows it, so it was okay for us. And many press, Christian press or other people came to me and advised me to sue them. But I always smiled at them. I had no intention to sue them or fight against them. I had no intention to give excuse or anything. I just wanted to follow the will of God. In obeying God's word, I didn't think twice before going to countries where there was threat of terror or where preaching the gospel was illegal. It's the same where I'm going this year. It is illegal to proclaim, to preach the gospel, but because it's God's command, I'm going. Like a saying, perfect love drives away fear. No matter how fearsome a situation looked, in my fervent love for the Father, I could always go forth boldly, cry out with all my strength, and end up giving glory to God. And when I'm going, I don't go with fear or anything like that. Oh, what should I do if they put me in prison? I don't even think of those things. Oh, what if I get arrested and get imprisoned or anything? There's no need to think of these things. I only follow the will of God and proclaim His will. And I proclaim to them who Jesus is and manifest God's power. And whatever they do to me after that, I don't care. Because God is almighty. And if God allows, it might happen. But if God does not allow it, no authority can catch me or arrest me. Even if they try to kill me, they cannot. So, you don't have to fear about tomorrow. You worry about today is enough. That kind of faith is true. And if you lead this kind of a spiritual faith, you just worry about the physical, not even spiritual things, not of a matter of dying and living. You just worry about small physical things about tomorrow. Our Lord says, do not worry about tomorrow. Worry for today is enough. And in accomplishing God's kingdom, I have always given the Father my time, wealth, and everything else I possessed. Even when I had nothing to give Him, by faith I prayed, received the answers, and gave Him. If I could, I always wanted to give Him more. This is because I love my Father God very much and love my Savior Jesus Christ very much. It will be the same in the future. As our Father gave us a great task of constructing the grand sanctuary, I have been praying to accomplish it. Even if it is a huge task and it'll take a long time to be fulfilled from the time I was given the task, I have never lamented and said, Father, how could you let me bear this burden for so long? And when the Father told me that I would meet with leaders and kings of nations in order to build a grand sanctuary, I have never harbored such feeble thoughts as, how can I face them and move their hearts? I've never had those thoughts. How can kings of the nations come to my church and come to just one pastor? I never thought of those things. I only prayed with faith. And because God said it, I believed it would be fulfilled, as He said. As Scriptures says, zeal for thy house will consume me. If the majesty of Father God's creation and power can be displayed through the most beautiful building structure on the earth, I am ready to do whatever He tells me. I earnestly wish for each of you to remember that when your love for God the Father is added on to your belief in Him, you will be able to confess, I can do anything, and demonstrate that love with deeds and in truth. In the evening coming up to the evening service, Pastor Jung-sun Lee was telling me, the person whom you testified in the morning service, she, while she was praying, she didn't really believe because all the parts were decaying and there was such bad smell of decaying smell. And there was no chance for him to live. So doctors told them to prepare for a funeral. And she, even while she was praying for him, she couldn't believe because the situation was just so bad. All the internal organs were decaying. Even if he survived, he would have been a vegetable, human vegetable. And why would doctors, for doctors, it is the truth. So, he just prayed, but such a great work took place and it is so amazing. And today, another blessing came upon that family and the hospital bill amounts up to $20,000, but they don't have that much money. So they received a call. They were considered as a their family was categorized as people in need by the government, so their bills were canceled out. So Pastor Lee was so excited and she was telling me. And they were, their hospital bill was canceled out by the government. And your senior pastor, your power is becoming so great and unimaginably it is becoming great. Did I say Pastor Jung-sun Lee? Sometimes I make mistakes. But my mistakes are the things that are okay even if I make mistakes. Let me conclude the message, brothers and sisters in Christ. In the second lecture on the goodness of Elijah, I testify to how Elijah loved God with his deeds and in truth. Although Elijah may have seemed fragile in nature, the more he longed for God, the more boldly he could proclaim God's will. Once he came face to face with God, the Trinity in heaven, his longing became all the greater and confessed, I'll do anything for you, my Lord. And Elijah perfectly demonstrated his love for God with his deeds and in truth. In the final session of the series on goodness next time, I will explain how Elijah continued to demonstrate his heart of goodness once he returned to this world. So as of next week, the messages on goodness will be ended up with the 17 sessions. There's many more things to deliberate under the title goodness, but because we don't have so much time, we'll just end up with the 17th session. With Elijah's goodness of love for God, we can learn that there is no need to make any excuses before true love. Besides, the Holy Spirit dwells in us and helps us with our weaknesses. And Romans chapter 8, verse 37 also reminds us, "But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us." May each of you love Father God all the more and live every day and every moment in that love by taking after Elijah's goodness of love. In the name of our Lord, I pray. Let us pray thinking about the message. Father God, let this message become life and strength. I deliver the message, second session on Elijah's goodness. Let us understand why he was caught up alive into heaven. And how beautiful this goodness is. There's no changing of heart. There's no craftiness. There's no falsehood in heart. Elijah loved God with his everything. And Lord, thank you. Let us learn this goodness and let us become a man with goodness. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a prayer request from Mary Therese from Belgium. 7 years ago, I have HIV positive. I'm 34. It's grace of God that I'm living. My husband died 4 years ago. I believe our Lord Jesus will deliver me from this disease. I ask for God's power to senior pastor. I want to experience God's power in my life. I thank you for manifesting great works in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mary Therese from Brussels, Belgium. Also, there's a letter from Princess Jane from England. May God's blessing be with you. Pastor Peter Kim left for Dubai and Nairobi, and I introduced two of my family members to him. The letter was today means when the letter was written. My cousins, Margaret Mukisa and Pastor Peter Kim canceled the mission in England. Canceling mission work in England is he wanted to open a church in England, but God told him to go to Congo and to help with Congo crusade and build a church in Congo, or otherwise Because in London there are many members who received grace. So he wanted to establish a church in Europe, but because also he wanted to follow God's will, he went to Congo. Also, Pastor Amos Deya,
wants to invite
Pastor Peter Kim
and
Manmin Prisoner, President Bongnim Lee and a senior pastor. But I think we already received the invitation and I asked you to give them the reply. Pastor Peter Kim delivered a message with, and he invited Pastor Amos Deya to Korea and he wanted to set up a meeting with the senior pastor and all the members were so delighted. And Pastor Amos Deya wants to visit Korea and Manmin Jungang Church and he wants to have continuous cooperation with Manmin Church and we want a person like a Peter Kim to have his ministry in England, in UK. My sister, Dorothy Natholo, she wants to send a letter to a senior pastor. She is in Uganda right now. We want to buy a good computer to have internet service more better. And Deacon Seongnam Bin visited our house last time and saw that our internet environment is not so good. London's internet is not as good as Korea, I suppose. Is there any way we can help her with our technology or? I'll pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on sick parts of the body and infirmities and receive the prayer for the desires of your heart. Father God, please lay your hands on them. From head to toe, all internal organs, cells and nerves and tissues be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit and most high power of creation. Give them spiritual and physical health. From head to toe, all internal organs and cells and nerves and tissues be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit and most high power of creation. Light come. Father, work transcending time and space. Bless all the branch church and local sanctuary members and other church members who are attending the service through the satellite and all those who are attending service through the internet all over the world. And Father, lay your hands on the photos sent from Belgium. I command in the name of Jesus Christ all enemy devils, Satan, diseases go away, AIDS go away. This AIDS go away from this daughter. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light come. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light come. Father, cleanse her and heal her completely. AIDS, go away. Father, be glorified. Father, all our members, protect them from all head to toe, all internal organs, cells and nerves and tissues. Give them spiritual and physical health and blessings. Father, answer to their desires. Answer to their prayers. Let them be blessed as they come in or go out. Let them borrow, but let them lend, but not borrow from no one. And be with all the mission delegations. Be with all the members throughout the week. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.